Once again, I want to greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you can hear me clearly. In our last study, we have considered that our Lord Jesus has set the model conduct or the example for us, the believers, to imitate or to follow in how we ought to relate and conduct ourselves with fellow Christians, particularly the responsibility of the stronger Christians in faith and conscience to those who are weaker. And with the help of Scripture, the Bible, and the enabling of the Holy Spirit, we are commanded to walk in Christ's footsteps. For our meditation this morning, our subject is Christ, the hope of all who believe. When our Lord Jesus began his ministry, it was only to the people of Israel, the Jews. When Jesus sent out the apostles on their first evangelistic mission, Jesus ordered them to go into the way of the Gentiles and into any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Matthew 10, verses 5 to 6. However, this does not mean that Jesus ignored individual Gentiles, because we know from other parts of Scripture that our Lord Jesus did minister to a few Gentiles. For example, in Matthew 8, verses 5 to 13, and also Matthew 15, 21 to 28. But the major focus of our Lord Jesus at the beginning of his ministry was to the children of Israel. After Christ's resurrection, the Lord Jesus commanded the apostles to remain in Jerusalem and begin their ministry there. And this we read in Luke 24, verses 44 to 49. And then the period covered by Acts chapter 1 to chapter 7 is characterized by a ministry only to the Jew or the Jewish proselytes. It was not until in Acts chapter 8 that the gospel went out to the Samaritans. And then in Acts chapter 10, it went to the Gentiles. Then through the ministry of the Apostle Paul, it went throughout the Roman Empire. And how do we know about this? Because it is recorded of Paul's ministry in Acts chapter 13, verses 1 to 3. The Apostle Paul, here in this section, verses 8 to 13, proceeds to discuss with us Jesus' ministry and his objective in his first coming into this sin-cursed world. Our first lesson or first aspect of Christ's ministry is this: the purpose of Christ's ministry. Look at verse 8. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. Our Lord Jesus humbled himself, came down from heaven, and became a servant. First, to the circumcision, and this of course refers to the Jew. The word servant is where we get the word deacons in the Greek, diakonon. And so our Lord Jesus was born of a Jew as God's Messiah for Israel. God had two objectives to accomplish through Christ's ministry. The first was in verse 8, as we have just read, to confirm the promises made to the fathers, referring to the patriarchs. And this objective or this purpose was already brought forth to us in Romans chapter 9, verses 4 to 5. Then God's second objective in Christ's ministry for the redemption of his people is in verse 9. For what purpose? So that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. And so, it is true that God initially had made covenants only with Israel, not with the Gentiles. And we also see this teaching in Ephesians 2:12. So God had no covenantal promises to confirm with the Gentiles. Therefore, at that point, any spiritual blessings that come to the Gentiles spring solely from the mercy of God. Nevertheless, God in his sovereign grace had eternally purposed to bless the Gentiles spiritually through the Lord Jesus Christ as their Messiah and through his covenant with Israel. In fact, this has already been brought up to us in Genesis 12, verse 3. This eternal purpose, hinted right from the first book of the Bible, which I just said, Genesis 12, verse 3, I read to you, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curse thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And the Lord Jesus himself verified this point in John 4:22 during his discourse with the Samaritan woman. Jesus said to her, "Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews." God's dual purpose in the ministry of Christ are being achieved now while Israel nationally has been set aside. We have really considered this in our study of Romans 11 verses 1 to 31. And the church right now is being formed as both Jews and Gentiles. And this, the Apostle Paul has also highlighted in Ephesians 2 verses 14 to 22. And so, brethren, are we not seeing this prophecy still fulfilling in our time? As we see the Lord Jesus, by his mighty Spirit, drawing in his people through his Spirit of grace, and it will be achieved in the future when Israel is restored to her place as head of the nations and becomes a means of blessing to everyone. And this promise is first made in Deuteronomy 30 verses 1 to 10. So, brethren, may you be encouraged or be comforted to know that our God is still on his throne and his eternal purposes will continue as he promised. His redemptive plan for the salvation of both the Jews and the Gentiles continue till this day. Though we may see or we seem to see very few or even no true conversion in our days, particularly in this country and many other Western countries, yet the Spirit of God is still working or at work in reconciling sinners to himself. Let us not forsake, but rather to pray that the Lord of the harvest will continue to send forth laborers into his harvest to proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as for us, let us not give up hope for the salvation of our family members and loved ones and those around us. For indeed, the Lord Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, God is still at work, though we could not see, but he is still at work in bringing sinners unto himself. Our second heading is this, the validation of Christ's ministry. And this is in from verses 9 to 12. To demonstrate the validity of this statement concerning the ministry of Christ and its purposes, particularly the one relating to the Gentiles, the Apostle Paul quoted four Old Testament passages, introducing the series with the expression in verse 9, as it is written. And as it is written is in the perfect tense, it means it stands written. Significantly, these quotations are taken from all three divisions of the Old Testament. It is taken from the Law of Moses, taken from the Prophets, and taken from the Psalms. And from these three, and also from three great Jewish heroes of faith, Moses, David, and Isaiah. The first quotation Paul mentioned in verse 9. As it is written, for this cause I will confess thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. And so, Paul is quoting from David's song of deliverance in 2 Samuel 22 verse 50 and also Psalm 18 verse 49. Therefore I will give thanks unto the Lord, unto thee, O Lord, among the heathens, and I will sing praises unto thy name. The word heathen, translated in our English, in the Hebrew, it refers to the nations of the Gentiles. The second quotation Paul quoted in Romans 15 verse 10 is from Moses' farewell address to the people of Israel, quoted from Deuteronomy 32:43. Rejoice, O ye nations, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants, and will render vengeance to his adversaries, and will be merciful unto his land and to his people. The third quotation in verse 11 is from both the shortest and the middle chapter of the Bible, which is Psalm 117 verse 1. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations, praise him, all ye people. And the fourth quotation in Romans 15 verse 12 is from Isaiah's messianic prophecy, Isaiah 11 verse 10. And in that day, there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. From this four quotation in scripture, you can trace the progression of thought in God's redemptive plan for both the Jews and the Gentiles. In the first, David praised God among the Gentiles. In the second, Moses exhorted the Gentiles to do what? To rejoice with God's people. And in the third, the psalmist commanded the Gentiles to praise the Lord. And in the fourth, Isaiah predicted that the Gentiles will live under the rule of the root of Jesse, the Messiah, and they will hope in him. Coming to verse 12, and again, or rather look at verse 12 again. And again, Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. The word trust at the end of Romans 12:15-12 is actually the word hope. At one time, the Gentiles, you and I, who are outside of the commonwealth of grace of the Jew, we were without hope, having no hope, as Paul says in Ephesians 2:12. But now in Christ, we have hope. Though the Old Testament never presented the Gentiles as fellow heirs together with Israel, members together in the promise in Jesus Christ mentioned in Ephesians 3:6, but it certainly did see them as receiving blessing from God's fulfilling his covenantal promises to his people Israel. Therefore, may we the Gentiles believers, those of us who are in Christ, praise and rejoice in our Lord Jesus for his grace and mercy upon us. Indeed, God right from the beginning has already in mind this plan to save the Gentiles. So we can give thanks and praise to God that God in His mercy and love and compassion look upon us poor wretched sinners and to save us. Our third heading is this: the believer's hope in Christ's ministry. Verse 13, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. This verse is in fact a benedictory prayer. The description of God as a God of hope relates to the hope mentioned earlier in the preceding verses and to the promises God recorded in the whole of Scripture, which give hope. Though that we, through patience and comfort of the Scripture, might have hope. And this is, I'm referring to Romans 15 verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and hope of the Scriptures might, or comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Paul prayed that God will fill the believers with all joy and peace. Joy relates to the delight of anticipation in seeing one's hopes fulfilled. Peace results from the assurance that God will fulfill those promises. Believers will experience this hope when they by faith put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. As a result, believers overflow with hope. How? By the power of the Holy Spirit. The achievement of all this, or the accomplishment of all of God's purposes for the spiritual well-being of His children, comes from the power given by God the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we thank the Lord indeed that because of the faithfulness of the Jewish Christians, like the Apostle Paul, who faithfully took the gospel to the Gentiles, the nation of the world today have the opportunity to trust Christ as their Savior. In our time, for us, the believers, we have the duty of love to bring or to share the gospel to other Gentiles whom we come into contact in each of our stations, to our neighbors, to our fellow students, to our colleagues, and also to the Jews, as we know that they are still spiritually blinded at the moment. We owe them, the Jewish people, a gospel debt, or the Jewish Christian rather. Therefore, we ought to pray for the salvation of the Jews and for the salvation of the Gentiles, regardless of their ethnicities. What about you personally? Do you truly have such a hope in Christ? Is Jesus Christ truly your personal Savior, or is it just a notion floating in your mind? Consider this very carefully, dear friends, dear brethren, while you have the time and while you have your breath, for there is no salvation after you breathe your last breath. The Christian hope is not a bare belief in the head, but an experiential reality in the heart, produced by the Holy Spirit through faith exercised in God's promises and vitally related to joy and peace. Therefore, brethren, those of us who are in Christ, if you are truly a born-again Christian, let us join with the Apostle Paul to make it our daily prayer for one another in the Lord, to pray, saying, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye might abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee once again for Your word, that you have revealed to us. Oh Lord, we pray that you will grant us more faith to trust and to obey. Lord, for those who are still outside of your kingdom, we plead for your mercy that thou will continue to send forth your spirit of grace and love to touch their hearts and to humble them. Lord, open their spiritual eyes that they may see the need of the Savior. For indeed, Lord, there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we might be saved. O Lord, we pray that your Spirit will do the work of conviction and conversion in the hearts of those who do not know thee, those who are perishing in sin. Lord, even for those who may be coming into our church week after week, year after year, O Lord, help us to make our own election, our calling sure. Help us to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, to see whether we are truly in Christ, and to see whether we are indeed walking in your will. For Lord, we are fearful that we may come before you on the day of judgment, and you will say to us, "Depart from me, for I know you not." O gracious loving Father, we pray that your Spirit will continue to work in the hearts of your people, that thou will help us, O Lord, we pray, for we confess that we are weak in faith. O Lord, we pray that you will grant us more faith, increase our faith, our hope, and our trust in you. Increase our love for thee and for your laws and your commandments, to obey and to keep them in gratitude to you for what you have done for us on the cross of Calvary. So Lord, bless thy people and help us on this Lord's Day to keep this entire day holy, separated unto you, that we may set our hearts and our minds on the Lord Jesus, to reflect and to meditate and to give thanks, that we will not spend this day, the Lord's Day, though we are kept in our home, that we may reverentially observe this day and to keep it holy as you have so commanded us. Hear this our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.